some, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Glad to see some good friends. I didn't say old friends. I said good friends that are here. And I hope that you're having a great weekend, this Memorial Day weekend. Also, we want to welcome those who are worshiping with us online as well today. Glad to have you also. Now, we're in this series, and we're talking about today a word that will change your life. This is the next to the last series. Next week will be the last sermon in the series. I'm going to be preaching at the beach next week, so good news for you, I won't be here. Steve Irwin will be here preaching, and I'll be at the beach, so we'll look forward to seeing you. A lot of our people are out of town today. They went to visit family. However, some people came to visit family, and they came into town today. So we're glad to have you, whether you live here all the time or you're visiting any Sunday. We're always glad that you're here. Now, if you could change one word, if you could take one word and somehow express a goal that you have in life that would sum you up, your character, your nature, that would summarize you, what would that one word be? There are a lot of common words. Some people have said, well, I'd like to be known as successful. And I hope you are successful. And I hope that God blesses you. And that's a good thing. And others have said, well, I'd like to be influential. And I hope you are influential. Because we're called to be salt and light, aren't we? And we want to influence others for the kingdom. But also, some people have said, well, I'd like to be happy. That's a word for me. Or maybe blessed. Or maybe fulfilled. But there's one word that stands out above all of those. And that one word is what God will say to us when we meet Him. He won't say, well done, good and successful. Well done, good and influential. Also happy. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we're talking about today, being faithful to God. Right before the first service started this morning, I was talking to a friend, and she said, you know, I've never really been good at witnessing to other people, talking to other people about the Lord. I want to do that, but I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm just afraid I'll do or say the wrong thing. And I said to her, well, you need to listen to this sermon today, because God calls us to be faithful and obedient. And He does all the heavy lifting. He takes care of the rest, doesn't He? And He works in people's lives. He just puts us in situations where we get a front row seat to watch Him work, doesn't He? And then we just sit back in awe and see what He does. And so today we want to be faithful. And the one word that will change your life is the title of this message today. We've been talking about making decisions in this message series. We've said the quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, you can make some good decisions with God's help. You can pray and seek Him and determine His will, and you're going to make the right choice. And then if you try to do it on your own, like sometimes we all do, sometimes we'll make a bad decision. You know, some of us are not very good at making decisions, are we? Sometimes we make the wrong decisions. But when we're faced with a particular scenario, we can decide to take a very specific action. In fact, we can pre-decide. We've been talking about pre-deciding to do something. We've said, hey, when a certain thing comes up, I'm not going to wait till I'm tired. I'm not going to wait till I'm vulnerable. I'm not going to wait until I'm not at my best. But I'm going to go ahead and God's going to help me. So when we're faced with a particular scenario, we're already decided to take a very specific action. Now, there are six areas we're going to talk about today that we've mentioned in this series. Either we've mentioned or we are mentioning or we will mention. The first one says, I'm ready. I'm ready, right? Then we said we need to be consistent. Then we said we needed to be devoted. Then last week, we said we needed to be generous. And today, we're talking about being faithful. And next week, we're going to talk about being a finisher. And so you want to make sure and be here so you can complete this series. And that's a really important message because we want to finish strong. Steve Farrar wrote a book about finishing strong. That's so important. And so we're going to pre-decide. We're going to decide in advance, hey, I want to be faithful to God and do what He calls me to do. And that won't happen without intentionality. Nobody will accidentally become faithful to God, will they? It's something that they have to focus on and choose. Because left to our own devices, we're just going to probably take the easy way, right? And why would we take the hard way? But you know, God may call us to take the hard way, and it may be a cost involved, but it's always worth it when He calls us to do it. Now, if you look at God's Word in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, you see what it says there. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. So we really have a choice, don't we? We can either trust in ourselves or we can trust in God. Do you know anyone who is proud? Anyone who trusts in themselves? Anyone who is crooked? That's what the Bible says. They trust their wisdom or knowledge or righteousness or goodness. Maybe they trust their bank account. They trust in their own abilities. They trust themselves. They're proud and crooked. That's what the Bible says. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And so we want to be faithful to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes think that I'm self-sufficient. Do you ever think that? Yeah, I'm glad somebody else does, because I don't want to be the only one. Sometimes I say, like a child, I'll do this myself, right? And that never ends well, because I need God's help to do anything and everything. And you and I know that, don't we? We don't want to do that. We want to intentionally decide to be faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? We're going to look at how we can be faithful today. We're going to look at how Jesus was faithful. In fact, if you look at a word study of how Jesus mentioned the word faithful, there are three different categories that He mentioned. He talked about faithfulness and how you treat people. He talked about faithfulness and how you steward resources. And He talked about faithfulness and how you respond to God. Three specific areas. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. But if that's important to Jesus, certainly it's important to us, isn't it? And so we respond with His values, with His attitude, with His faithfulness. Now first, pre-decide how you will treat people. Every interaction is an opportunity to add value. What does that mean? Wherever we go, whoever we meet, whoever we see, we're going to try to focus on them. We're trying to make a benefit in their life. We're trying to encourage them. We're trying to bless them. We're trying to be generous to them. We're trying to add value to their lives. And so we pre-decide that we're going to show them the love of God. And the reason we pre-decide is because no one's ever consistently, accidentally been faithful to God, right? And so we want to do that. We want to be focused. Now, we talked about how we want to focus on others, but how many of us think we sometimes would be honest and say we focus on ourselves? Anybody want to? Yep. Would any spouse here like to volunteer for their spouse to? We don't have time for that, and I don't have time for the marriage counseling. But I think we're all kind of that way. Let me prove it to you. Are you ready? Let's say that today I took a picture of you and seven other people. And then I showed you the picture. Who's the first person you're going to look at? Yourself. And if you look good, the picture's good. The rest of the people could look like Forrest Gump in the picture. But if you look good, it's great. But what happens if you look bad? You're looking like Forrest, and the rest of them look great. Oh, no, that's a bad picture. We need to make another one. And so what happens is when we talk to other people, we start thinking now, are they liking me? Do they appreciate me? You know, how do they view me? And then we analyze the conversation when we walk away. And should I have said that? Should I have said something different? I wonder how they perceive me. Did I embarrass myself? But here's something we could pre-decide to do. Instead of focusing on ourselves, we could pre-decide, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to focus on the other people. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to look them in the eye. I'm going to hear what they're talking about and respond to what they talk about. And I want to be a blessing to them in all that I do around them. And that is a way of being faithful to God. In Ephesians, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. And so he's talking about building other people up, adding value to their lives. Now, are you the kind of person, when you go into the room, the climate changes for the better? When people see you, they smile. Oh, I'm so glad they're here. They always encourage me. They always lift me up. What a blessing to see this person. I'm so thankful for this privilege and opportunity. You see, the faithfulness of God gives us a platform to minister to other people. Jesus cared how he treated people. Look at what he said. Look at the way he acted. And when the disciples were worried, what did Jesus say to them? Well, I can tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, well, you better worry because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. That's happening right now. Read the news. Have you seen it? Things are bad and they're going to get worse. That's not what Jesus said, was it? Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, because your heavenly Father cares so much about you. He cares about the bird. Surely he cares about you. Today has enough worry for itself. Just seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. See, now he's lifting you up. He's encouraging you. He's giving you something to look forward to. What about the woman caught in adultery? The men brought her in there, and what happened? Jesus was there, and he didn't look at that woman and say, well, you sorry sinner, you pathetic thing, and turn his back on her. What did he do? Jesus knelt down in the dirt and he wrote something, and we don't know what he wrote, but one by one, probably starting with the oldest man there, all you could hear was the rocks falling to the ground. And then Jesus looked at her. He said, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. With the love in his heart and compassion, he said, neither do I accuse you. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. Don't sin anymore. Just go and be righteous and be free. Do you think that that woman, after having that encounter with Jesus, do you think that affected her for the rest of her life? I mean, when you encounter Jesus, it makes a difference. Because he makes a difference to us, doesn't he? What did he do to Peter? Peter, you're going to deny me three times. After he told him, what did Peter do? He denied him three times. Can you imagine how low, how crushed, how devastated Peter felt? And what did Jesus do? When they first got back together, he said, do you love me? Do you love me? He let him tell him three times. He let him affirm his love to Jesus. And then he said, you know, I came to show you the Father's love. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And you know what? You're going to do greater things than I do, because when I leave, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to be there beside you. He's going to be inside of you. And he's going to walk with you and enable you to do things that are amazing. And every interaction that we have with any person that we meet, we have an opportunity to show the love of God, to build them up, to show grace, to be a blessing like Jesus would be, a word of encouragement, faithful to God. One of the things to be faithful to God is to be a blessing to other people. You have no idea how much a single word of encouragement from you could make a difference in another person's life. This week, you have no idea what God has in store for you. And all you have to do is be faithful and obedient. And you can show love and blessing, and you can add value to their lives. Second, predecide how you will steward resources. Every resource is an opportunity to multiply. We read in Matthew 25, the parable of the stewards. Jesus tells the story about a man who owned a lot. He gave to one man five bags of gold. He gave to another two bags of gold, and he gave to another one bag of gold. To the first two, when he came back, they presented themselves, and they had doubled the five bags to 10, the two bags to 4. And it says, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." They had multiplied what they had been given. You see, for you and me, that faithfulness, the Greek word pistos, means to be a person who is faithful. You could be faithful in transactions of business. You could be faithful in the execution of commands. You could be faithful in the discharge of official duties. You could be faithful in business. There's all kinds of ways for you to be faithful to God. Faithful to God is caring about what he's doing, how he's working in you, multiplying that which he has given you so that you might bless others. Let's say, for example, God gives you an ugly yard. You can make it a pretty yard. When I came out of seminary, I was appointed to the First Methodist Church in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. It was a nice house, had a lot of room. And when I got there, I noticed something right away. Every person on the street had a golf green for a yard. It was beautiful. And we, in our house, had the sand trap. We didn't have a sprinkler system. It was in bad shape. When I say we didn't have grass, we didn't have grass, okay? We had dollar weed. That was about it. And the lovely people at First Methodist Church, I don't know why, but out of the goodness of their heart, not long after I got there, they showed up one day and they started digging holes and trenches. They couldn't mess it up. And they put in a sprinkler system in the front yard and the backyard. And I was so grateful for that. I found out later that they did that for me. I barely knew them. But they said, "We want to do this for Joe." Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'd see him out there in the yard working. It's hot summertime. I'd say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" I'd go eat lunch somewhere, you know. I'd go out and have dinner. I'd go to some nice place, get some seafood. It was later on that I found out they were doing that out of the goodness of their heart. They paid for it. I would have gone out there and helped them. It would have slowed down the whole process if I'd done that. But you know how nice it was. And you know, it was a lady that lived next door to us, and she lived there forever. They were retired military folks, and they took care of their yard. I mean, every Saturday they were out there working in that yard. It was pristine. You know what they did? That lady got out in the driveway, and she put one of her lawn chairs out there. She sat there clapping while we were throwing sod out there on the grass, and she got drunk right there in the driveway. She really did. Talk about an opportunity for evangelism, I'll tell you. But, you know, she was so tickled. From then on, we were best friends. She loved us. One time, our plumbing, we had a problem, and I had to take a shower on Sunday morning because I had to go to church. And they said, "You just come on over. You use our shower anytime you need to." And I did, and they became good friends to us. And more sober after a while, they learned, they learned that we had communion, but it wasn't quite like theirs, okay? Let's say God gives you a clunker car. You can make it the cleanest clunker car on the block. That's faithfulness to God. God is good in business. He adds value. He blesses you through your business. You can multiply. You know, business people have to take a risk, don't they? And they have to step out, but they multiply, and they have integrity, and they bless other people. They create more jobs for other people. And let's say you fast and pray, and you want to be a missionary and read the Bible. Let's say you teach three-year-olds how to learn about the Bible. I mean, what a blessing that is. That's faithfulness to God. And then you multiply your resources, and you give to missions. I want to say something. We have a missions conference every year here at the church. It's one of the highlights of my year. I love it. I wish everybody here would come to the missions conference. You would be blessed by what God is using you to do to be a blessing all over the world. Sometimes I just sit here in the dark and I listen to the videos and I hear the people's witness and I just cry. Because it's so good. And God is working through that. And people are being blessed, and lives are being changed, and all we have to do is just be faithful and obedient. We send people out around the world, and you'd be shocked. You would be shocked at what God does through our little offering that we give. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. I get a front row seat to watch God work. It's honoring to multiply what you've been given. It's honoring God to try to be the person that you can minister to others. But there was this one guy who got one bag of gold, and he had one thing, and he was scared. He was afraid. And so I actually feel for this guy, because there have been times in my life when I've been afraid of messing up. Amen? And this guy, he didn't want to make a mistake, but I want you to see what the master says. So I was afraid when I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Boy, that's I mean, lazy would be bad enough, but wicked too. I don't need that. You have to choose to be faithful. Every interaction, every opportunity is to add value, is to share resources, is to multiply that, and to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and just simply obey God faithfully. Third, I want to pre-decide how you will respond to God. Every prompting is an opportunity to obey God. If you look in Acts 20:22, Paul is in Miletus, which is Turkey. And it says that he's really having a good experience there. He goes there because he's trying to save time and not go to Ephesus. And while he's there, have you ever gone somewhere and you were having a good time and you didn't want to leave, but it was time to go? You know, some of you have come to Panama City Beach this weekend, and you're just excited about being here and having such a good time, and you're not ready to go home yet. You want to wait till the rain all goes through so you can see the sunshine again, don't you? Well, that's kind of the way it was. But you know what? The Bible says that Paul was compelled by the Spirit. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I just know that I'm being drawn. I'm just compelled. I just feel like God wants me to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why. I just know that that's what he wants me to do. Even though I'm having a great time right here where I am, I'm going to go. I'm going to be faithful and obedient, and I'm going to go. And so he goes to Jerusalem. And so we follow the prompting of the Spirit. He compels us to be faithful and obedient, to trust him for the rest. The spiritual principle is this: obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. I'm just called to be faithful and obedient. I'm not called to be successful. I can't do anything anyway without God. But with God, all things are possible. And so I just want to be faithful and obedient, and then I get to watch him work in such a powerful way. That's faithfulness, to see other people and pre-decide to be faithful. God, maybe he's putting someone or something on your heart. And you know, maybe you're thinking, I'm supposed to tell somebody. I'm supposed to text somebody. I'm supposed to give this to you. I feel led to bless you. I needed to visit you. I just felt compelled to be here. You're going to pre-decide to be faithful to God and to add value and multiply what you've been given. Now listen, you will overestimate what you can do in the short run, but you will underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. And so we just trust God. We say, Lord, this is in your hands. And when God gives you a little and you're faithful, he says, I can trust you with much, and I'll give you more, and I'll use you, and you will be a blessing to others because of him. If you're faithful to those around you, you'll have more influence. You'll be able to make a difference in their world. You will help fulfill and bless and be joyful, and they will receive that, and they will be blessed as well. The righteous live by their faithfulness to God. Every interaction is an opportunity to add value to someone else's life. And when God prompts us, we go. Now, last week, you know, some of you may have noticed that I wasn't here. I don't know if you did or not. But Laura and her parents, they spent years when she was growing up going to lay witness missions in Tennessee and Alabama and different places. And they got involved in those. Back in the 60s and 70s, what would happen is people would come, lay people would come to a church, and they would come there for a lay witness mission. They would be on a team, and they would share their faith with the people who were members of that church. And I got involved in that, and a lot of my friends got involved in that, and we went to a lot of places doing that. It was very powerful, and we just got to watch God work. Laura's family got to be friends with folks from North Alabama, and they got on a team with them, and they started doing things with them. And there was one family from Ashland, Alabama, and they had a daughter about Laura's age, and they got to be friends. And when Laura and I were dating, that family from Ashland was actually visiting on the mountain where Laura grew up in Tennessee, and then they were going back home to Ashland, and they brought Laura with them. I was in Montgomery, and I drove up from Montgomery and picked Laura up because I was taking a group of youth to camp, church camp at Camp Lee in Anniston, Alabama. And so I got Laura, and you know, Laura and I spent a lot of time together when we were dating, and even after we got married, she would always sing and play the guitar. And so they would recruit Laura to sing and play the guitar and lead singing for the group. And then they would say, since you're going to drive her anyway, we'll let you say a few words. That was their way of saying, and you can preach, okay, fine. But Laura was the main attraction. Well, we did that. We went to Camp Lee. We had a great time there. And one of Laura's friends, that girl that she knew, married a man from North Alabama. And his father was a Methodist minister. And I knew his father because I had met him through other minister friends. I'd known him for a long time. His name is Elvis North. He served a small church in North Alabama. He worked with CFET, Science and Faith and Technology, in a mission ministry. And he would go to local churches and he would do financial campaigns there and help them raise money for whatever project they were going to do. And over the years, I had run into Elvis and Betty North on many occasions. And he even visited Woodlawn one time, and he came here to visit one of your previous ministers. Now, last weekend, Laura and I were in Birmingham, and we thought that the main event for the weekend, of course, was to go and see our granddaughter, Collins. Have I mentioned her before? She was in a dance recital. Now, you know that you love your granddaughter if you will go watch her in a dance recital, okay? It lasted 2 hours. It seemed a lot longer, except when she was on stage. When she was on stage, the time just flew by. It was wonderful. But that wasn't the only reason we were there. Because God had a plan. He set it all up way in advance. There was a divine appointment scheduled for Laura and me to participate in. Laura saw on Facebook that Elvis and Betty North were in a bad wreck on Mother's Day afternoon. And Betty was killed. And Elvis was in UAB Hospital. And Laura and I knew that we needed to go visit him. We felt compelled. We were prompted by the Spirit to go. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know the details. All we knew was that Robin had told Laura what room he was in. And so we went. Now, the recital was going to be at 2:30 at the BJCC, the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center, in downtown Birmingham. He was at UAB Hospital. UAB Hospital was going to be on the way from our house to the recital, so we could just stop off there. And so we did. We parked, we went in, we found the room, and we went inside. And when we got there, Elvis, his eyes were closed, but he opened his eyes and he smiled. And he looked at us, and he was glad to see us. We walked over and we refreshed his memory and told him who we were. He's 91 years old now, and he had a big smile on his face. And they had told him that Betty had gone to be with the Lord. And he said, well, you know, I'm ready to go be with the Lord whenever he's ready. I can just go see Betty. I'm ready anytime, but I'm also ready to stay here and do whatever he wants me to do. He's laying in the hospital bed, 91 years old. They probably were married 70 years. And he's just trying to be a witness for Jesus. We went to cheer him up. I prayed for him. Right as I said amen, he launched off in a prayer. And he prayed for us. And let me tell you, he lifted us up. I went there to cheer him up. Laura and I thought we might be able to do something. We felt better when we left. We walked out on air because we'd been in there talking to Elvis. And he'd made an impact on us. And after we left the room, it was lunchtime. And so we said, let's go eat. And we went to the fish market right there by the hospital. And as we had lunch together, we just talked about what a blessing, what a blessing, what a privilege it was to be prompted by the Holy Spirit that God would trust us with this little errand to just go and be faithful and obedient, and he would do the rest. What a privilege it is to know the Lord and serve him. And so we enjoyed that time together, but we also could not help but think about how faithful he and Betty have been to the Lord. And we could just imagine the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And we were thankful for the privilege to have known them. And to realize that God coordinated every bit of that. He worked years in advance to make all that happen to that particular time. And even scheduled it so we could visit and be at two places on that particular day. There's a song by Steve Green. It's a song from the 80s, but it's a good song. And it's a wonderful song. And if you've never heard it, I hope you'll Google it today and listen to it and listen to the words carefully. There's a chorus, and I'm going to share one verse, and I'm going to sing it for you now. No, I like you way too much to do that. You know better. Well, I want you to listen to this verse and then listen to this chorus. We're almost through. After our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Amen. Holy Spirit, fill us, lead us, bless us, unite us, use us to accomplish your will. As we follow you, make us faithful to your promptings. Use us to be a blessing, to be a steward, to be obedient to all you call us to do. Forgive us of our sins. Save us, change us, make us new. Thank you for new life. Help us be faithful in everything we seek to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up so you can see them real quick. And after the service, they'll be glad to pray with you. I want you to see who they are. They're going to go back to the garage door in the back because you don't like to come up here under the spotlight. You like for them to pray for you back there. So eyeball them, check them out, make sure you got the right one. And then when the service ends, go back there and stop with them. You may have something you carried in here today that you don't need to carry anymore. You can leave it here. You got a burden for yourself, for someone else, for someone you love. You can pray for Elvis North and the loss of his wife and his family. You can pray for a family member, somebody at work, some need that God laid on your heart, anything. You can lift it up. Take advantage of that. Where two or three gather in my name, there I will be also. I mean, this is the time to take advantage of it. This is your cue, so don't miss out. Let's stand together. Y'all go ahead and go to the back.
You joined us today. You